Now tonight is our time of hymn singing, and then we have our fellowship meal. It's always a very joyful time. But just before we do that, I would like to make a few brief remarks upon some verses found in the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah, it's been a while since we've been in the book, and we enter into a section where we, as we say, there seems to be one string in the banjo. In other words, it's judgment, judgment, judgment upon this nation, and this nation. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to play that one string again tonight, the judgment upon a particular nation. Before we look at some verses together, let us pray. Our blessed Lord, as we look at your truth this night and your actions that you performed long ago, may we be ever mindful and encouraged about the fact that you are still the God upon the throne. You are the God who still deals with the nations, lifting up and casting down. The God who sends judgments, the God who sends blessings. But what makes our hearts truly rejoice is the fact that we are in your hand, each one of us. You have dealings with each one of us, and we belong to you through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And tonight, as we consider afresh your greatness, may we be strengthened in your service. Through Jesus we ask. Amen. I can't believe it. I just can't believe my eyes. I've never seen such devastation. Those remarks were uttered in various ways from people who lived on the East Coast as a result of Hurricane Sandy. Indeed, the East Coast had had many storms before, some of them quite severe, but apparently nothing like Sandy. And if you had gone there a few days before Sandy hit, you would have looked at nice, pretty coastline. There were beautiful homes. There were families. People were active. People were enjoying life. Commerce was going on all around the place. And then Sandy hit. The results? Death and destruction. And of course, all down through history, because of storms, windstorms, tornadoes, volcanoes, earthquakes, and yes, we must bring in war. There has been great destruction. Villages destroyed, beautiful cities destroyed, nations overturned by way of a foreign army invading the territory. And so that's what we've been reading about here, as I mentioned in the book of Jeremiah. You go back to that 46th chapter, and it starts off the word of the Lord which came to Jeremiah the prophet against the nations. And so if you read on from there, you probably have headings in your Bible. And so you read about the judgment that came upon Egypt, the judgment that came upon Moab and Ammon and a whole lot of other nations. Well, tonight, judgment is coming up on another nation. And it's interesting that this particular nation is the one that God used to bring His judgment upon the others. In other words, tonight we are starting into a very long section about God's judgment upon Babylon. It's going to come, and God used this nation, God used this king to pour out His wrath upon other nations who had sinned against Him. Now, God, the Sovereign Lord, is going to judge this nation, judge them for their sins. And so very briefly, the first three verses of this 50th chapter, the word that the Lord spoke against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. Declare among the nations, proclaim and set up a standard. Proclaim, do not conceal it. Say, Babylon is taken, Bel is shamed, Merodach is broken in pieces, her idols are humiliated, her images are broken in pieces. For out of the north a nation comes up against her, which shall make her land desolate, and no one shall dwell therein. They shall move, they shall depart, both man and beast. Amen. Well, as we look at these introductory words, you notice, first of all, the designated nation, the designated city that is to come under the judgment of God. And you have these familiar words we've seen a number of times. The word of the Lord spoke against, or he spoke upon Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. And so Babylon, that was the city of the day. That was the talk of the day. It was a glorious city. It was a powerful city. It was a rich city. And the other nations talked about Babylon. Oh yes, many of them hated them for what they had done to their land. But others admired them and they feared them. And people wanted to go there. They would see the city. They would talk about this city. As I understand it, we're the only yet superpower in the world. And other nations talk about us. It's not always favorable talk, but they talk about us. And some of them really appreciate us, and some of us hate us. And oh, so many want to come to this country because they yet believe work hard and you can make it and you can be successful. They all talk about our nation. They all talked about Babylon. Babylon the Great. And you remember Nebuchadnezzar, the judgment fell upon him because of his pride. He says, is not this great Babylon that I have built? And you know the story of how the anger of the Lord fell upon him and he became like a beast at that time. And so here, this city was the talk of the time. And it's the land of the Chaldeans. In other words, it's in this area, the Chaldean area. Babylon was the big city. I guess we could think of it this way. We're Phoenicians. We live in Phoenix. We're Phoenicians. But yet we're in Arizona, you see. And so you have Babylon. You have in the land of the Chaldeans. And Babylon, that's about currently 55 miles south of Baghdad. And you remember Saddam Hussein, he kept talking about he was really going to rebuild Babylon. Well, his plans got changed, obviously. But here is this city. This is a city. And God used these Chaldeans to bring his judgment upon others. In fact, we read in Isaiah, we even read in Jeremiah, what did God say? Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. Not the kind of servant we would want to be. We want to be servants by way of the redeeming blood of Christ. But yet all men are God's servants. All men ultimately do his will, whether they know it or not or like it. They do his will, and they do it gladly. And so here is Nebuchadnezzar. This is one that God greatly lifted up. God uses, and it may sound crude to you, God uses men. God has the right to use men howsoever he pleases, and he is holy and just in so doing. He is using guilty sinners. God uses men. And so he used this man. He used him to bring judgment upon wayward nations. He used him to bring judgment upon his own people. And then you have this statement by Jeremiah the prophet, and we've come across that before. But literally in the Hebrew it says, by the hand of Jeremiah the prophet. By the hand of Jeremiah. Well, that could simply mean he was an instrument, we say, with reference to a certain event. Well, so-and-so had their hand in this, so-and-so had their hand in. Or, it's a possibility, you can think about it, it has reference to a written message. By the hand of Jeremiah, this is going to be written down. Now, it's true, he used the scribe Baruch quite a bit, and he could write himself. And so it very well could be, you notice, it's to go out amongst the nations. And so it's to be written down, it's to be copied, it is to be distributed so that the nations and leaders and people can see and they can read what God has to say, because this was hard for them to believe. So hard for nations to believe. Babylon? Babylon be destroyed? How can that be, that great military might and that city with the walls? It just can't be. And so perhaps you've had a conversation with someone and they say, well, you know, I read this in a paper, such and such. You say, oh, you didn't read it right. I mean, what you're saying, that can't be true. And so they get the paper. Look, here's what it says. And so here it could be not only a verbal communication, but here is something that's been written down. The people can look and the people can ponder this. And so here, mighty Babylon is going to be cast down. And so again, we see the sovereign Lord. He lifts men up, he casts men down. And you remember the psalmist in Psalm 37. He made mention of the mighty man who spreads himself like a green bay tree. And everyone's afraid of him. Everyone steps back. But he says, I passed by again, and I looked, and he was gone. And that's the way it will be with Nebuchadnezzar. That's the way it is in the world in which we live. Men are lifted up, and men are feared, and men prosper, and men seem to do what they want. But what happened? God cast them down. Men do not rule this world. God Almighty rules this world. And he lifts up whom he pleases, and he casts down whom he pleases. And that should be an encouragement to us, the people of God. God is in control of this world, not men, no matter how powerful they appear to be. And so the designated nation, but you notice the declaration that is to be made. You look at verse 2. Declare among the nations, proclaim and set up a standard. Proclaim, do not conceal it. Say, Babylon is taken, Baal is shamed, Merodach is broken in pieces. Proclaim it, proclaim it. Don't conceal it. And you notice, set up a standard, and that would be like a pole. We think of a flagpole. In other words, it was something that could be visibly seen from a distance. And you remember when the children of Israel camped out around the tabernacle there, each tribe had a particular banner that set up. And say a man's out, say he went hunting and he comes home, oh yeah, there's my banner, that's my tribe, he could see it and he would go there. In other words, it's something that's very visible, something that you can see. It's something that's not to be hid. And so what is the prophet saying? What is God saying to the prophet? What is he saying to others who are to convey this message? Speak it forth! Let it be known! And he pushes them. Why? Because this message, as I said earlier, it will be resisted. It's just not going to be believed. Look. There's just no way Babylon's going to be toppled. It just can't happen. They're too great a nation. They're too powerful. They're too rich. They own about everything. Tell it! Babylon is taken! And the particular tense that is used here in the Hebrew carries the thought that it has happened. It has already happened. Wait a minute! It hasn't happened! God says, it's happened, because it's absolutely certain. It's going to happen. And we're confronted with this when we look at our New Testament, for example. We all find great delight and encouragement in that 8th chapter of Romans. And so here these familiar words, verse 28 through 30. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestinated, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. And in the original is what we'll call a simple past tense, the aorist, kerplunk, it has happened. And well, yes, we know we've been called and we know we've been justified, but we've not yet been glorified. No, I'm right here. It's going to happen. It's certain. It's absolute. God says so. And so it is back here. God says, Babylon has fallen. It's certain. It is going to happen. And then mention is made of those idols that will be crushed. You remember when God brought his people out of the land of Egypt, he destroyed their gods. And so we are reminded here, our trust is in the true and the living God. We do not put our trust in any kind of an idol. And it's very easy to have an idol. It's very easy to put your trust and your affection and your desires in someone or something other than God. As Uncle John used to say, our hearts are idol factories. We're always turning out these idols, always putting something before God Almighty. Here, God is to be served, and He is the one that's going to bring this by. And it says something to us as regards our witness for Jesus Christ. It says something to us as far as speaking forth the gospel. Don't be ashamed. It's not believed. It's resisted. Just like people would resist this as far as saying, Babylon destroyed, it just can't be. To set forth the truth about Christ and what He has done and the call of God to repentance and faith and all that is said about the judgment and the resurrection and the world to come. Men resist. Make it clear. Don't conceal it. Don't be afraid of it. Well, then in the third place, the destruction. It says, For out of the north a nation comes up against her, which shall make her land desolate, and no one shall dwell therein, and shall move, and shall depart, both man and beast. And up from the north, you remember when we entered in studying the book of Jeremiah, the nation was, Judah was warned about someone coming out of the north. And so here, for Babylon, someone's coming out of the north. And it's not just one nation, really, because when we look over in chapter 51, we pick up the fact that many nations, verse 28, prepare against her the nations with the kings of the Medes, its governors and its rulers. You have the Medes and the Persians, and they were ahead of a whole bunch of nations, and they came against Babylon. And so here, they're going to be destroyed. It's going to come. Make her desolate. And so here, the Lord takes this mighty nation, and He lifted it up, He used it, and now He's going to cast it down. And the judgments of God, they come because of a reason, because of a purpose. And with reference to Babylon, she was very cruel, and she was very proud. And so this comes out when we work our way through this 50th chapter. For example, verse 29, it makes this statement, call together the archers against Babylon, all you who bend the bow and camp against her all around. Let none of them escape. Repay her according to her work, according to all she has done, due to her. For she has been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. God so often overturns a nation because of their pride. You remember more than once the statement was made with reference to Moab. Moab is so proud. Moab is so proud. Two things are brought out here. Reward her according to her works. In other words, there's a law in God's kingdom. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. And so it says to us, consider your plans. Consider what you'll do next week, next month. You're going to do thus and thus. Wait a minute. What am I doing? A man reaps what he sows. So to the flesh shall reap some corruption. I better sow to the Spirit. I better sow what is good. A man reaps what he sows. But then again, you notice it brings out, has been proud against the Lord. And you've read your Bible through numerous times, especially we go through the book of Proverbs. God hates pride. He hates it. And we all have that proneness. The word pride carries the meaning of to be puffed up, but kind of bloated, you know. And do we not have the tendency to get puffed up about ourselves? We are really something. We are really important. I don't know how the world made it till I came on the scene. I just don't. We get so puffed up. And the Lord brings us down. The Lord humbles. enables us. You remember what the Apostle Paul said with reference to the thorn in the flesh? He said, there's been given to me these wonderful revelations. I have these great privileges. But in order that I don't get puffed up, there's been given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. He needed again and again to be humbled. And that's what the Lord does with us. He chastens us. He humbles us. Why? So we'll be useful. We'll be useful. He humbles us. He's conforming us to the image of His Son. Look at Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and all that He did, and the miracles, and the teaching, and the people screaming and wanting Him, and all. Humble. So the Lord brings afflictions. We should not complain, but be thankful that He so takes an interest in us, to have dealings with us, to bring us down where we can be useful, where we can walk with Him. As Peter said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due season. Let us pray. Our blessed God, indeed, we thank You for all of Your dealings with us. We thank You, Lord God, for the promise that that work You have started, You will carry it on. And Lord God, we do desire to be useful to You. We desire, Lord God, to be faithful to You. And so grant us grace. Continue to deal with us. And grant us a true humility before You and before the brotherhood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll take a little break, but we'll sing hymn number 91. Hymn number 91.